Keep the devices in your home protected from Wi-Fi threats with Xfinity XFi. If it's connected, it's protected. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Switch to Xfinity today and get a great offer. You'll get fast speeds and the best in-home Wi-Fi experience with Xfinity XFi. And now, you can get advanced security for free when you get the XFi Gateway. That's a $72 value per year. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store to switch today. Restrictions apply.
The Awakening.
Welcome to the Awakening You podcast, reminding you that the answers are within. My name is Scott Goyette, and I am your host. Each week in this podcast, I will be sharing some simple yet very useful tools to help you dive deep and discover how infinitely powerful you really are. The show is based on specific growth models created by the Go Love Now movement that will help you choose love and move through your fears. The love model, L-O-V-E, stands for listening, observing, voicing, and empathizing. The fear model, F-E-A-R, stands for forgiving, eliminating outdated beliefs, accepting yourself and others, and rising up and becoming resilient. During each podcast, my amazing guests will share their experiences with using these tools and how you might benefit from using them as well. All information shared during this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. Nothing from this podcast should supersede the directions of a doctor or mental health professional. So today we are here to talk about the R in fear, and that's rising up and being resilient. And this is the last letter in the acronym of fear. So far in our podcast, we have gone through listening, observing, voicing, and empathizing. And that was the love model. Now we jumped into fear, which is forgiving, eliminating beliefs and patterns that no longer serve you, and accepting yourself and others where they are at in their journey. And finally, today, we're jumping into rising up and being resilient. And I love the fact that the R comes last in the love and the fear model, because all of these skill sets that we have learned together are super, super important. But without resiliency, we really have none of the ability to utilize the other skills. And there's no better person to have here today talk about resiliency than a very dear friend of mine, Alexander Tuttle. Alexander, how are you today?
Doing lovely. So honored to be part of this.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to jumping on your show sometime soon as well, because sharing these messages as we're going through our journey is powerful, it's exciting, and it's awesome. So
yes, very grateful.
So let's jump in and jump right into it. So tell our listeners a little bit about your past and who Alexander Tuttle actually is.
Well, first we will start with Scott. My first name is Scott. And for the majority of my life, I went by that. And in my 20s, I was a musician, aspiring musician, and I gained a lot of success in that field. But in my late 20s, I got introduced to metaphysics, and that shifted my direction to focusing on how music could help people. And so I started looking to be of service. And about that same time, I had began a relationship with a wonderful lady that happened to be 9 years older than me. She had twin 3-year-old sons. That wasn't part of my plan, but it became my whole plan. And I got out of striving for these certain goals, these exterior goals, this exterior success. And I began to focus all of my studies, all of my time, my attention to my relationships and developing those to a degree that I felt like was satisfying to me, that was different than the norm. And that began a path that we were together for 11 years. Then we came to a point to where she was diagnosed with cancer at just 46 years old, and I happened to be 37. The boys were 15. So here gave me a chance to practice what I had been studying for 10 years. Metaphysics at 27 became my main subject. I studied a minimum of 6 to 8 hours a day, self-study. And so that helped me to prepare for something I never dreamed, which would be my wife coming home with this diagnosis and how we were going to approach that. So we chose to approach it in a completely holistic direction. And she looked at me and said, "You're going to heal me with sound." And so at that same time, I had just gone to sound healing school in San Francisco, California. I had always been a very grounded and, I guess you could call, centered guy from the South, no nonsense, practical. I was very healthy, hadn't dealt with a lot of health challenges. And so when that got presented to me, I leaned into it, not because I felt like I could do it, but I felt like my whole team could, the divine's help, our angels, and that we were being put on this path to set an example. And so I went into that full-heartedly, and every story doesn't end like a fairy tale, so to say. And I'm very thankful for that experience. She had 10 months after diagnosis, and 8 out of those 10 were great. And she only had a couple of bad months and a few bad weeks toward the end. She didn't take any pain medication through the whole experience. And that changed how I approached everything in my life. I went through a healing crisis myself. For the first time, my body shut down and it failed me. And I literally didn't know how to handle that. This was all new to me because my body had always been like a tank. And I didn't understand stress because I had lived in so much stress throughout my life. I didn't realize I was reaching a boiling point. And it reached that point when someone turned basically their life over to me. But the one thing I had to grow to accept is the one thing we can't control is when it's someone's time to go. And acceptance is a big part of this life path. And being able to get to that acceptance is part of that resilience that you're talking about. That I'd fight climbing out of those holes that I went in, that so many people go in during a trauma or tragedy. And I've been at the dark night of the soul, let's say, and I've carried the doubt in everything that I believed and everything that I trusted and felt that life and God or the divine had let me down, and I've been there. And I think that's important for people to hear, because now I help people deal with those situations and help them to get out of those holes. When you know what the hole's like, it's a whole lot, we'll say, easier to help guide someone out. So that resilience, part of that was the two boys and the fact that if I didn't change the way that I approached them as a father, as an example, as a teacher, they were going to be very one-sided because they didn't have someone to step into that mother role. And so began my trek to really work on my feminine side. And now I help people to balance their feminine and masculine energies to know when which one is more useful in a situation. So for the next 3 years, I raised them the way that I perceived a loving mother would rather than an authoritative father. Now this is what I do in my private practice is people come to me with many different situations that they are wanting help for. And I do my best to help them like I feel like a loving mother would. So here I am. A young man born in the South, raised by Southern parents and taught a very masculine way. But my life path was to work on that feminine side and that compassion. Part of that lesson is going through your own tragedies and your own pains, getting rid of the whys. Why is this happening to me? And so my philosophy, my work is all about turning the whys inside. Why am I allowing this to affect me anymore? I'm a completely different person. That happened when I was 5 years ago. That's like 6-7 year cycles, and every 7 years the body completely regenerates every cell in the body. So if I've went through such as some abuse I experienced when I was 5 years old, I've literally, way I work with forgiveness is I've had 6-7 year cycles or 6 lifetimes past that. I'm not that person anymore. So that helps me with the forgiveness.
That's amazing. So first of all, I'm sure some of our listeners are in a space where they've lost somebody that was very close to them and trying to question, you know, why did this happen to me? You know, whether your faith is in God or universe or whatever it's in, that can be insanely destructive. And since you had a tool, you know, she was hoping and you were hoping would somehow heal her. But you came to a space, you both decided that the best thing, especially her, because it's her choice in her life, that she wanted to do that holistically. That's a difficult thing to do, especially knowing that she still most likely would pass. But you're making her, you know, last 10 months a more beautiful period and making it as pain-free as possible. We talked about one thing that I think people really need to hear too, because a lot of people were giving you a hard time saying, how did you let this happen? You should have been taking her to chemotherapy or radiation. Did you even love your wife? Like calling you out on stuff. And it's the last thing you need when you're sitting here watching the most amazing person in your world that's truly your equal leave this world. So you're in that space. where you're being berated on top of the fact that you just lost your wife because you didn't choose Western medicine and instead chose a more holistic approach. What did your doctor tell you after this whole thing happened when people were constantly calling you and criticizing you? Because that was an amazing story to me.
It is, and it's important to share. And first of all, I want to give a little bit of background that Sherry, at 19, watched her mother go through 3 months in the hospital, losing her to pancreatic cancer. And so that was her biggest wish, is just not to live the final days of her life in a hospital. And I told her that I would adhere to that. I didn't understand, of course, the full implications of that. You don't know until you're in it. So this wasn't just a fly-by-night decision. We were very educated, and we did in the beginning go to some doctors to get certain information that she was looking for. And then once she got a certain amount that she was happy with, she just chose not to go back in that direction anymore and never took any medicine or even pain pills. Because part of our work that we did is the more stuff that you don't work out in your life, it's passed down through family lineage, and she wanted to keep her sons from having to work on any of the emotional stuff that she didn't clear up and the family lineage stuff. And she was a trooper, man. She was a true warrior, and she did so much in those last few months. But here's what the doctor said. We did go to the hospital for one night, and I was taking her in to get some IVs, to get some fluids because she hadn't been drinking or eating. Once we got in there, they wanted to put her on morphine right away in the emergency room, and she denied it, and I stood behind her in that. So they were amazed at what she had done. So once she passed, early that next morning, the doctor sent someone to get me, and she wanted to speak with me, and it was a female doctor. And she asked me to explain to her just what we had done in the time frames. And I said, well, for the first 8 months, there was really nothing. I mean, we ate good. We took away all toxins, and we loved each other. We still went on trips. We still lived life. And it wasn't like she was running from it. We were dealing with it, but we weren't letting it run our lives. And she really felt that that was important to set that example for people around her. So it got to a certain point toward the last 2 months to where, you know, she was a little bit more tired and spending time in bed. And I explained all that. And in the last 3 weeks, there wasn't much sleep at all. And the doctor said, well, I want to let you know that in those 10 months, if you would have went the allopathic path, she may have had 2 good days out of those whole 10 months. So I can't praise and appreciate the path that you two took and chose. It was absolutely the right path. And so I said, thank you so much for saying that. My soul has known the whole time this journey was not going to be easy, but it was divinely guided. And just not anyone could do this path. So I thank you, because this will be useful to others. And so I did use that, as Scott was saying. When people found out that she had passed, they would literally call me and start drilling me for all the mistakes that, from their point of view, just out of anger and out of sadness. It's not truly their point of view necessarily. It's an emotional reaction. And part of my work is to help people learn to not react to other people's reactions, because that pain's coming from somewhere else. But I was still vulnerable. It still did hurt. And I would just say, well, this is what your doctor said. And I would tell them, and it would actually calm them down and give them some peace. So it was important that that doctor played that role, not for me, but for others. And I would just calmly listen to whatever someone had to get off their chest. And then I would say, well, this is what your doctor said. So it was an honor. It was something that I don't wish on anyone. But when you can see that kind of strength in another human being, it's very inspiring.
So that's really amazing, because I'm hearing resiliency from multiple groups, because I'm hearing it from your wife, I'm hearing it from you, and we'll talk in a little bit about that it's now in your children, and that's a beautiful thing. And so I can't even fathom, I like to think I understand what would be in my brain, but I'm all about ending all the suffering within my own lineage so that that doesn't get passed on to my daughter. And I think deep down, we all want that. But we hold on to old stories, we hold on to old patterns, we hold on to emotion and things that are ultimately going to get dumped down to our offspring if we don't end it. And to hear the amazing heroicness of your wife to say, I understand that this is Earth University. This is a series of lessons that we're learning here in this world. And for her to not quit on those lessons in a time where 99% of us want to give away our power, I can't even imagine what must have been passed on to your children through that to say, I want to make sure that I can move through as much of the emotions of anger. Think of the fact that, you know, her relatives or her friends or her other people that she knows were angry that she didn't do that. That's their anger, not hers. She released all of that so that doesn't get to be passed on. And obviously, we talk about listening to our heart and listening to others. It wouldn't surprise me at all if that day you went into the hospital just for the IVs was part of the lesson. And we needed that doctor to have that comment to say, you did the right thing so you could share that so that could get passed on to even help in the healing of her friends or her family members who maybe were still affected by this, but that's going to help them heal too. So it's really amazing to see that in something that's passing, and we all know we're in an infinite existence, passing in the temporary, moving forward, that she can teach so much and not pass on that pain in the lineage. I just find that mind-blowing, and I'd love to think that I could have the strength to either be in your shoes or her shoes, and I just don't know whether I could or not.
Yeah. I mean, no. I have to say, after, you know, seeing her example, seeing many men crumble in that decision, and so strength isn't gender-oriented, so to say. And it is amazing, and part of what has, of course, carried me on through the obstacles that has been presented since then, and to increase the example I set for those two boys. And, you know, we were together 11 years. We worked on our relationship consciously for 8 years, every single day. We gained more in 11 years than most couples do in 50. We managed our time. We didn't work over 30 hours a week apiece. We just lived a completely different life, and it was tribe-oriented, and now the boys have made it through that, made it through some situations with their birth father, and now are doing just incredibly well, living in Hawaii, and wonderful airplane technicians, mechanics, and love their job, and just doing so well in life. So definitely want to give them a shout-out, Ian and Ryan, as some amazing human beings, and part of that lineage that was passed down, because for somebody to go through that and not take one pain pill, and the reason that she didn't wasn't to be belligerent, but she didn't want to be unconscious. She wanted to, what I've termed, make love with the friction. Hey, life is presenting some friction here, but let's learn to make love with it and accept it and not run from it. It's here to teach me something. So every area of the body that she hurt, we talked about, what's the lesson here? What is your body telling you? What is this relieving for the boys to have to deal with? And this is the kind of stuff that she was interested in doing. This is what we developed. This is why we lived. To have that kind of partner is amazing.
It does sound incredible. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to accept the emotion that come up and be proud of it, because it's not a sadness. It's an appreciation and a gratitude. And I want people to hear the beauty in crying and releasing and still being there, because I can be with her and be outside of sadness. I'm outside of sadness here crying because of the amazing path that we took together. So I want people to hear emotional processing and now hear my voice clear up and know that it's okay, that release was beautiful for me, and I don't run from those. So allow your emotions to process people. Don't try to fight them and don't hold on to them. Children teach us this. Watch 2 5-year-olds. They'll teach you this really quick. So anyway, I want to thank you for allowing and being part of that process and for owning it.
That's beautiful. And you know that through the Go Love Now movement, we stand by that, because once we move through those emotions, especially anger, sadness, fear, shame, when that holds space within us and sits there without being processed, that's how we get chronic illness. That's how we literally can self-destruct. So we can turn that around and use that as fuel. And we're going to talk about that in some future shows of how we can specifically do that. But I do want to ask one more thing. So I'm hearing a lot of your process and the progress and the resiliency. And there's a lot of pain and a lot of real emotion in there. And then there's some amazing joy too, because, you know, you can see what a beautiful relationship that you guys had. And you shared a lot of that with me and how you really complimented each other and just she knew you. And that's a tough thing to come by and find that person. And then to see these beautiful children, get to see how she moved on and the way you raised them has put them in a situation to be really successful and happy. But you shared one moment with me, and everyone who's listening is getting to hear all your strength. And they're going to hear all the things that make you an amazing human being, you know, and your resume, you know. But share with me, and I want you to tell this story, because when you told me this, it really moved me. Right after she passed, you were trying to just get some of the stuff out of your face and stuff out of your way that you just wanted to just be in your own moment and just figure out what just really happened. What happened in that story where you went to the phone company to cut off her phone bill? And it was an interesting story.
Yeah, this changed the way that I viewed the definition of compassion forever. So just a few weeks after Sherry had passed, I just wanted to do something basic. So my attempt to be part of the world again, it wasn't that I wanted to, I knew that I needed to. And so my attempt was to go to my phone company. We had a family plan where it was $10 extra for each line. And I was just going to get her line taken off, so I didn't have to see that $10 charge in her phone number every month, every bill. And I really didn't think that this $10 a month would be any kind of issue with something like death. Remember, this is the first thing that I've done, like, business-wise in months, because the last couple of months, I didn't do much business. I was taking care of her, and then now it's 3 weeks after she's passed, so I'm completely devastated. And so I go to the phone company, and I just walk in. There's a young 20-some-year-old gentleman working there, and I told him my situation, that I just wanted to get that $10 a month taken off and not see that every month. And he clicks on the computer and he says, "Well, I'm sorry, sir. You can't do that for 8 more months. You're still under contract." And when he said that, I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared for a complete lack of compassion in the business world. And I took one step back, literally kind of stumbled back. First of all, I saw red. Everything just went red. And I am thankful for the 10 years of work that I had done at that point to pull my energy back in. And I simply tried to communicate. I said, "This is where people go out to their cars and get a gun and come back in and shoot everybody in the store. And nobody ever understands why." And about that time, a manager stepped in and said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "I certainly hope so." And I told him the story. And he said, "Absolutely, right away, we'll get that taken off, blah, 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 blah." And then I just went back out into my car and sat for about an hour without being able to move because I was shaking so much. Because if I hadn't had that glimpse of consciousness that I had worked so hard for, and I had had some type of devastating tool like a gun close to me, I could have made a very, very poor decision that day, and that wouldn't have been who I am. I'm so grateful to the divine and all of the variables, because I'm not a gun person. And not having anything like that in my reach during that moment. But I was a broken person, and I was shown no compassion. And so it changed the way that I looked at people that do things that other people see as wrong, as bad. I carry a compassion now. As soon as I hear of something so horrible that somebody has done, my very first thought is, I wonder what they had been going through. That's my first thought is, I wonder what they had been going through, because hurt people hurt people. That day I was the person hurting. Since that day I've helped or been part of helping lots of people hurting. But that day I was the one, and a young person didn't know and understand the role that he was playing. And I'm so fortunate the way that everything played out and that I did get that charge taken off. It wasn't about the money, of course. I want that to go out for everyone today that listens to this to carry a little bit extra buffer of compassion for people, that if you can just take that moment to say, "I have no idea what they're going through today," it's worth the pause. So yes, I enjoy sharing the strengths and the resilience, but also enjoy sharing the vulnerability and the weaknesses as well. And they come hand in hand, and they shouldn't be judged as good or bad. They're together, they're a union, and we've got to be able to share that vulnerability and those weaknesses too. Because sometimes some people need to hear that. because they happen to be weak at that moment. So all of you that's listening to this, if you're carrying some weakness, then, you know, tomorrow's another day, and we can always choose a different perception. And this isn't being Pollyanna, because I've been in that hole, and I want to say that sometimes it's okay to be in the hole. I needed to be there for a little while, but be willing to come out, and it's worth the journey, because when you can set an example, you can have the opportunity to change people's lives. And it's not just about what you tell them or the stories or the things that you learned. It's what you carry in a vibration. And when you overcome something that is challenging, you change your vibration. And me being a vibrational therapist, that's one of the most important things is, how are you holding your vibration? How are you charging your vibration? You're either charging your vibration or you're diminishing it. And it all begins with the emotions and how we're thinking about things, how we're looking at them. So once again, I'm not coming from a Pollyanna view. I'm coming from a very realistic view that sometimes we are going to have negative thoughts. Sometimes we are going to go through challenges. And to be able to love yourself and to love others and say, that's okay, because my next thought can be different. It's about the acceptance. And I accepted that I was weak. I accepted that I thought I was strong enough to take all that on and not be harmed. I was wrong. I've been wrong a lot in my life. And the difference is now I'm not afraid to be wrong anymore, because I learn. Therefore, I never think that I'm right. If you're willing to be wrong, then you don't have time to think that you're right. And from time to time, I'm right. So let's just keep growing and learning. And we learn through our failures, and don't take failure as a negative position. You've been taught wrong if that's the case. It's just an opportunity to grow. So just do your best. And I've shared a little bit of my story that through every step of all that, I just did my best. And sometimes I was weak. Sometimes I was strong. So perseverance, resilience, it's amazing. It's necessary. It's what all the greats have exhibited. If anything, they've exhibited resilience. Because all the greats that I studied, and I don't need to give any of them names, they're all amazing. None of them had the red carpet rolled out for them in my studies. So those of you out there that have a different view, you might be getting judged for it. You know, stand strong in your vibration, but be flexible like a tree. Be willing to bend and not need to prove anything, but exemplify it. If you exemplify it long enough, due to the laws of physics and the way that energy works, it becomes real. Exemplify it. Don't just talk about it.
I love what you said, where you're talking about the idea of not attaching to being right, and also looking at all the greats, the philosophers, the thinkers, the people tried to help us go to the next level and really understand what this world's all about. And one of the things that I've found, and I know you and I both agree with this, is time and time again, anybody that we have the utmost respect for has been through what we'd call hell. And you start listening to the story, and there's an instant attraction to that individual, because you know they speak from the heart. And when they're talking to you, they've got a PhD in life. One of the things I'd like to throw out there and get people to think about is, when all these things are happening to you and you're saying, why me? First of all, say, why not me? But also, I want you to understand that the universe would never put anything on you that you ultimately couldn't handle. And I love where Alexander went, where he was talking about his wife and saying that she wanted to go through this on her own, and she wanted to make sure that anything wouldn't be passed on to her lineage, and she was able to, you know, heal things that she was doing moving forward. If these things are being thrown on you, you're probably the first person within your lineage that's able to say the buck stops here. And there's a lot of people waking up in this world. And so if you want a why and you want an answer, the best answer I could give you, if you're seeing things that seem like hell, you're the first person who's ready in an awakened state to handle this in your lineage. And you can handle your lineage both backwards and forward. Yep. And so you can be the hero, and you can do it. And sometimes that's not the path or the vision of how we thought our life was going to look. But don't forget, yourself is much bigger than just you. It's everyone who came before you and will come after you. And so to know that you have the power to be able to heal that should be a beautiful thing. And I also wanted to address, Alexander was talking about the concept of being right and not attaching to things that are right. If you'll notice that the model through love and fear, there's nothing in there that says this is how it is. What I'm trying to teach you to do is realize that as things happen to you, there's better ways to possibly manage it. I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm just giving you some direction. So actualizing and amplifying your senses. So listening, I'm not saying anything more than just use your ears and your heart, listen more closely to what's going on around you. Observe and be that active observer. The young man in the Sprint store could have easily been a more active observer and been more compassionate. But again, we don't all have this training. That's why we share this. The voice piece, the thing that might have allowed Alexander to literally hang on in the end was that voice that he created that said, you are enough. You can do this. You are pure love. And of course, at the end, that empathy piece for both yourself and others, just empathizing and realizing, man, we don't know everybody's story. And we're going to come by some people at some point in our lives where we don't know that just looking them in the eyes or a smile or how are you can literally change their entire existence. So talking about power, you have the power. We've shared some of the tools. Resiliency is something that's not easy and we get to practice every single day, but we all can do this and we all have this and we're behind you. Our podcasts and our interviews will continue to share with you so that you have the power to go out and change the world because we know you've got this. What do you think, Alexander?
That's good, brother. Great, great wrap up. Yes, beautiful.
So Alexander and I are going to be doing some stuff in the future together because one of the things he does is teaches sound healing, plays a lot of the ancient instruments and does some stuff that could elevate your vibration to a place of love versus fear or some more perceived negative emotions. And so we're going to be doing some retreats and we've got one coming up in February. We'll send some more information through our Facebook page, but there's going to be some good stuff coming up and would love to help you in your growth, self-development and healing. Anything else to add?
No, I'm just so honored and thank you for your time and for being interested in my story. And I'm interested in everyone's stories, especially when people are using their stories to grow from. And I say, look at the past like a rearview mirror in a car, glance at it, but don't focus. Stay focused on what's ahead, but utilize the past just enough to make sure we're not creating the same patterns. Keep growing, beautiful people.
I love it. Love you, man. Thank you, and man. Looking forward to more interviews. We'll get him out here again. Maybe we can get you out here doing some of the, do you think we could do a good podcast where you're playing some of the music or?
Quite possible.
We're going to have to try it then.
All right.
We'll get some feedback from the audience members. If they want it, we'll do it. They decide right. What we do. Well, I love you, brother. Thanks love so you. Much for being on. So this is the end of the love and the fear model. And what we're going to start doing is we're going to start doing interviews with friends of mine and people that I've met during my journey who are incorporating the love and the fear model as a whole. And we're going to get feedback on how that's working out for them. And I think you guys will be quite surprised and quite interested in how effective it's been for many. And hopefully after listening to this 8-part series, you too will be using the model and growing from it. So we love you all. Thanks so much and enjoy.
Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Get a reliable internet and voice solution starting at $64.90 a month for 12 months for 2 years. Call or go online today. Restrictions apply. New customers only. 25 megabits per second service and one voice line. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation, tax, and fees extra and subject to change. Call for details.